6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn under the weather. Word on the streets is he'll be back tomorrow, though.
That is the word on the street.
Yeah. Well, everybody on the street's talking about it.
I know.
Jeremy will be back on Thursday. It's on Twitter.
It will be.
Unless it's not. Speaking of on Twitter, Ed, let me ask you a question, man. And even when we disagree with things, we kind of see the world through similar sets of eyes. I'm watching this whole thing unfold with Bronny and LeBron James. Why do people just want this thing to crash and burn so much? Honestly, dude, what the man wanted to play with his son. He has the ability to make that happen.
I know.
Who amongst us wouldn't do that?
Hypocrites, unless they're bad people. I don't get it, but I absolutely do get it. People are jealous. People are just like, I use this phrase all the time, but like comparison is a thief of joy. They look at guys like LeBron. The guy's, he's a giant of a man. He seems like he does everything right. He's incredibly wealthy. He's
As you would say, the genetic lottery.
He hit the genetic lottery. And like, he's got everything you could ever dream of. You know, wealth and fame, and he's playing his job is what he loves. It's like what nobody else seems to get. So of course, you know, the natural thing is to hate him. I don't get it. Like, it just,
and to make it seem like, you know, someone said, "Well, Bronny is taking the job from somebody else." Who exactly?
Who?
You know, did anybody cry when Giannis has his brother on the team, who might be the worst basketball player in the league?
Yes, right.
No one cried about that.
No,
he might be the worst basketball player. I don't think he belongs in the men's league at Rosedale that they have.
Yeah.
I don't think he belongs in that, dude. But no one cries foul about that. You cry foul about LeBron James and Bronny. Stop. I applaud. You know me. I'm not a LeBron James fan. On this, I am. I'm a fan of LeBron James on this. Yeah. Go Bronny. Go Bronny. I hope that guy becomes a regular and you know, whether all-star or not, but prove that he belongs in the league. I'm cool with it, man. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. I mean, and it's not a surprise. This is like, he's not hid behind this or made believe it. I had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
It's been in the works forever.
He says it.
He says it, yeah. Like, what a dream I could actually play with my son. Like, yeah, it would be.
Let me ask you this, Ed. When you were applying for New York City Police Department, they didn't know your dad was in the department?
Of course.
But when you got there, what you had to do?
I had to be better than everybody, actually.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how you get there. It matters what you do once you get there.
Yes. I'll tell you how serious my dad was about this. He was not one to do this. It was a unit in New York called the Street Crime Unit. I worked in plain clothes in Times Square. They had a citywide unit that I really wanted to go to. So they were interviewing. So my father was, you know, he wasn't high ranking, but he was in a position in personnel at the time. Could have done anything. So I said, I really like to go to street crime. He says, you're not qualified. That was that.
Yeah.
That was the end of the conversation. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Like, okay. He was right. I was too young. But I was like, okay.
So when Bronny wants to do some things on the court and with the team, you don't think LeBron's going to say, no, you're not ready for that.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
That's going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
You're not ready for that. Okay. Now move on. Do what you got to do and work your way up here. I'm applauding it. I think it's great. I hope it moves on. Hey, your Knicks got paintbrush slapped last night.
I turned it off.
Oh my God.
I went back
gosh.
To the Ranger game.
They got. With the left hand, they held their necks. With the right hand, the meat side and the back side of the hand.
They had about 45 three-pointers. It was like, they gave up. It was terrible.
The Celtics fans start chanting, one more three.
Yeah.
One more three.
No, you've had
then
enough.
Then they went 0 for 10.
Yeah, I think 0 for 13. It was crazy, yeah.
That is not a sign of things to come, Ed. That's not, one of those things. Yeah, things happen. That is not a sign of things to come for the
Knicks. But is that what I wanted to see? I was like, oh, come on, make it a game. Rangers won, beat the Canadians 7-2.
Really?
Yeah, they're doing well. They're starting off great this season.
Have they lost yet?
Had one overtime loss.
Okay, all right. Well, I knew I was close.
Yeah, I don't even count that because you get a point.
I don't like that rule. You know that.
I hate that rule. You lost the game.
That's the ultimate
participation trophy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You read my mind on that. That's the ultimate participation trophy.
I mean, you lost.
How do you get a point?
And again, because it affects the standings. Because, you know, if you have like 20 of those at the end of the season, it could put you at the top of your division with a crappy record.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like
an overtime loss gets you a point.
Yeah.
Well,
to be a tie.
You did lose in overtime, so we got extra hockey out of it.
We got something.
Yeah.
Here you go.
410-583-1057 is the number. Sad news in baseball. Fernando Valenzuela. I was 10 years old, Ed. 10 years old. I remember him staring up in the sky to deliver baseball, strike year 1981. And it's weird. His rookie season, Joe, his rookie season was Dodgers-Yankees World Series.
Yeah.
And he dies before the next. There has been no Dodgers-Yankees World Series. He dies before the next Dodgers-Yankees World Series.
That is interesting.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that was some year, though, boy. He was, I remember him. He was a cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
Like, he just burst. You know, it's that old phrase, burst on the scene?
He did.
Burst on the baseball scene. Who the hell is this guy? I mean, kind of chubby, always had a smile on his face. You couldn't hit him. Went to Cy Young and the Rookie of the Year the same year. They win a World Series. It was amazing. Just amazing.
His first five wins, he went 5-0 to start his career with three shutouts.
I think they're all complete games, too.
Yeah. With three shutouts, man. That's dumb.
Yeah.
He started 25 games that year, and that led the league that year because of the strike again. And he was an all-star. He won the Cy Young Award and the Rookie of the Year Award.
Yeah. And there's a guy that comes up here as basically a kid. He was a child. I don't think he was 21 yet.
No, he was not.
He was not. Doesn't speak the language, not even 21 years old, and just it took the country by storm. He really did. You know, even if you weren't a Dodger fan, it was a great story.
It was. I wasn't a Dodger fan, but I loved it. He had, in 25 starts, Ed, he had 11 complete games, 8 shutouts.
Yeah, it's kind of dominant.
And what was his pitch? The screwball.
Yeah, which I said this maybe a couple months ago. Like, whatever happened to that pitch? He threw it. Tug McGraw, the Mets threw it. A handful of guys threw a screwball, and they never heard about it again.
Because it was proof that it would tear up your the tendons.
You're talking about unnatural motion.
Yeah, in your forearm.
It was the opposite of a curve. It was like, yeah.
It would tear up the tendons in your forearm, and people just start getting away from it more and more. So, yeah, Fernando Valenzuela, at the age of 63.
Yeah, that got my attention.
Damn. I think that's why I liked him so much. I was 10, he was 20. You know what I mean? Damn. You know, you see this guy just tear it up.
Yeah.
What a year.
Apparently he had been sick for a while.
Yeah, he'd been hospitalized. So the Dodgers had already, they were kind of bracing themselves for this, hoping that he'd get at least to the World Series. Shovels at 6:45, but on the other side, the Ravens are likely favorites for the next 5 games. But of those 5 games, which do you think will be the most difficult, Ed Norris? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy 2 windows from Window Nation and get 2 free. Plus, 0 down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
I don't even worry about the old year, like years prior. You know, I'm focused on right now, and us just being 5-2 don't really matter. We're just trying to be 1-0 each and every week we're out there on that field.
You know, for some reason, Ed, when he says things like that, I believe him.
So do I.
You know, because you hear teammates, you heard Derrick Henry say, that guy doesn't even know whether he had a good game or not. All he knows about is what his teammates did and whether he won or not.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what? I totally believe that. I think he's gotten the highest individual honor you can get.
Yeah.
Twice. So.
And probably the leader in the clubhouse for the third time.
This year. Yeah, he is. Yeah. I think he is.
Now, the next 5 games, you would think the Ravens would be favored for these next 5. At Browns, home against the Broncos, home against the Bengals, at Steelers, at Chargers.
They will be.
Then you can go beyond that, home against the Eagles. I think they'll be favored in that one, honestly. And at the Giants, they might be favored for the rest of the year. But the next five, let's just focus on that. And the one game out of the next five that gets you is what?
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, hands down. Not even close. It's in Pittsburgh. They're good. They're much better than I thought they'd be anyway. So it's a good football team. You're playing them in their home stadium, and you get all the usual stuff that goes with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And again, it's real, man. It's real, and it's fun. The rivalry's fun. It doesn't matter. People are, oh, no, it's kind of gone away. It's still Pittsburgh. It really is. It's still the Steelers. I was coming back this weekend, have on my Ravens jacket. I took it off because it was hot. It's Florida. So I take it off, hang it on the back of my chair. The bartender goes, that was a Steelers jacket. It would have kept you comfortable.
Ooh.
I was like, aha.
Ooh.
I knew it. And so we started talking. But again, that kind of banter. We started talking Ravens, Steelers and stuff. And it's real. And I think that's the one that scares me the most, because I don't believe the Ravens are going to win out. It's just unlikely, as good as they're playing. They're going to stumble somewhere. You're going to either going to get somebody you should have just, curb stomped is going to beat you, or a game like this where it's your arch rival, you're fighting for the division title, right. Believe it or not. So this makes me nervous.
You mean they can't run the table after going 2-2 in the first four?
I don't think so.
I mean, like they did in 2019?
I don't think so. I don't. It's
done it before.
I know they have. That's a lot to ask.
All right. I agree. The most concerned I am is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The most. So, I don't want to be boring. I'm going to let you know now, I'm not going to do the radio shtick, go up against you and sound stupid, because it would sound absolutely dumb. The most concerned I am is Pittsburgh. However, next to that, Denver.
Okay.
Denver concerns me because at 4-3, I don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. The quarterback, I think, sucks, but I think he's going to get better. I don't think he's going to be on the level of Daniels and Caleb Williams, but I think he's going to be better. I don't know whether he'll be better in 2 weeks when we see him, but that's the game. That's the next game that concerns me, the Broncos. The Browns are a crap show, and they're beyond proving a point. They have no points to prove right now. The quarterback got hurt. They don't like the fans booing the quarterback. So, when you go out and show the fans and win the game, that's not their motivation.
No.
You know what I mean? Your motivation is not, we'll show you, we'll win. That's not the motivation. The coach is not fired. So the motivation is not, we'll prove to you that it was the coach and not us. They have, what's their motivation? They are right now 1-6.
Yeah.
They have no motivation to step up whatsoever on Sunday.
No motivation. I think they're demotivated because of what happened. They're 1-6. They're going nowhere. Your quarterback is out. He gets, season-ending injury. So he's gone. And like it or not, that was probably the best game he had played in a while before he got hurt. So he's gone now. And the fan reaction was terrible. And the players defended their quarterback. So now it's like you got the fans fighting with the players, players fighting with the fans. They're 1-6.
I'd be more afraid of them if they were coming here, getting away from Cleveland. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like playing the Browns in Cleveland, Ed, is like visiting someone's home when they're fighting.
Yeah.
You're visiting your best friend's home when he and his wife are just openly fighting.
Yeah.
That's what this is like. You know, they're not comfortable. So I would be more afraid of them if they were coming here. So the game that concerns me next is Denver. The game that concerns me the most is at Pittsburgh.
Most for me is Pittsburgh. Denver concerned me a little bit, but because we're getting them at home, I feel better about it. The second one, which is a distant second, because the Steelers are far and away the one I'm worried about, is the Charger game out in Los Angeles.
Because of the emotion?
The emotion and the distance. Just, all these long these long travel games to me. I think, it can be a problem. And that's the one. As bad as I think the Chargers are, I think Harbaugh is still a very good coach. And they've got a history. I mean, you grew up together in the same house. But besides that, they faced off in a Super Bowl. They faced off in Thanksgiving. It's going to be good. I think it'll be a lot closer than we expect, because I think the Ravens are a much better team than they are.
Why is it that neither of us even mentioned the Bengals?
They're not going to win.
We didn't even. I feel almost bad that we're dismissive of the 3 and 4 Bengals.
Who we had to go to overtime to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't feel it.
I can't even form an argument saying, because I'm like, okay, we should be because it's divisional. Yeah. The only reason it concerns me is because it was a divisional game. I don't think the Ravens are the same Ravens they were when they played them in, what was that, week 3, 4?
2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
That was the second win of the year, baby. But I don't think the Ravens are the same team that played them. It was actually week 5 after they beat the Bills.
Yeah, it's like for me, it's also the problem. This game is all about matchups. They've had two of probably the best receiving tandem in the division.
Yeah, but defensively
they're not very good. But their receivers, the way our secondary is playing, could be a huge problem for us. For the Ravens. But their defense is poor, so I think the Ravens will put up a ton of points again. I mean, they put up 41 last time.
Yeah. Let's go to Bel Air and get Tom. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
My concern is, in the next 5, is Cincinnati.
Okay.
I just worry about Burrow. He put how many yards up against us the last time we played him? That's my biggest concern.
Right. Understood. And it's funny, because that's what I just said. It's alarming that neither of us, Ed or myself, pick the Bengals as that game that we're concerned about. He's right. Joe Burrow had 392 against the Ravens for a 137 passer rating, but it was all Jamar Chase.
Mm-hmm.
193, yeah. 2 touchdowns.
Look, they can pass. They had great receivers, and Burrow's the real deal. So that's an issue. I just still don't see it.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bat Morning Show on the Fan. We're doing Shovels at 6:45. Don't go anywhere for that. But on the other side, Ed Reed said this current Ravens team hasn't figured out how to finish like a championship club should. Is he right? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Ed, your Ravens are giving up some easy touchdowns here. I need a little pep talk from you, buddy.
Game over in their mind. They don't understand the other side of finishing and being a championship team right now.
That's Ed Reed on the Manning Cast during Monday Night Football. And I hear what Ed Reed is saying, Ed. I hear what he's saying. And I love Ed Reed. But former players are always saying that. They paint things like it was done so great when they did it. Mm-hmm. Lest we forget, the Ravens finished the regular season 1-4 the year they won the Super Bowl in 2012.
Yeah.
I mean, what, knowing how to finish because Ray Rice converted 4th and 29? What is knowing how to finish? I mean, did you think after 6 games, 7 games, that Ravens team, because after week 7, they lost 43-13 to the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
43-13. Did we think that team week 7 was a championship team? Did we think that team was better than this team? I hear what he's saying, and we would love for them to close, but what does it mean after 7 weeks closing like a championship team? What does that even mean?
Well, the problem is I understand exactly what he's saying, but I get your point because I remember that year vividly, like we all do probably, and I was concerned because they kind of backed into the playoffs. You know, they were good, and then they had that, you know, the season end was just going, but I do see this season where I'm concerned because it's what I brought up yesterday on, you know, Tuesday morning quarterback, whatever we want to call it, giving up 21 points in the fourth quarter when you have a commanding lead. What I want to see this team doing, you know, championship team or not, I just want to see the killer instinct come out and, like, you got somebody down? Step on their throat, man. Don't let up. Don't let up. No prevent defense. No nothing. Keep the offense cooking. Do everything you've been doing. Just keep the pressure on the other team. And that I haven't seen. Like, you know, they so much better than so many of their opponents. And they put up these big numbers, but then you see it get whittled away, and they make it interesting at the end. And I don't like that. Where that game against the Bucs, it shouldn't have been that close. And I know they won by 10, but you know. Another touchdown, another freaky onside kick, and who knows what happens. So I'd like to see them finish out games really strong.
I'd like to see them finish out strong too, but the one thing about you letting me off the campus, you don't have to let me off the campus. I'm getting up anyway. I'm going to fight my way off the campus also. You know, when you did Muay Thai. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you know how to fight on the offense also. But yeah. you also know how to fight when you're on your back.
Yeah.
And to reverse it. Well, these guys, these NFL teams, they know how to fight from behind.
Oh, of course.
So it's not always what we're allowing. And I'm not saying it was that case Monday. But it's not always what we're allowing another team to do. Sometimes it's what the other team knows how to do. Joe just gave me an interesting stat. Ed Reed's teams blew 10 leads during his time. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens in the National Football League. Sure. Stop acting like this doesn't happen. It happens. They are 5-2. And I think if you take a scope around the rest of the league, they're probably finishing and closing out better than most others.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're just a better team than most others, if not everybody else.
And they blew leads three times the year they won the Super Bowl in 2012.
Yes. The difference is, even if it's not a blown lead, because we're so immersed in it, you watch it every week to week, we talk about it for a living. I am, even games they won, I still walk away. The Cowboy game, you know, how many points did they give up in that game near the end? How many touchdowns were there in 6 minutes? It was ridiculous. It's like, and I get it. The other team gets paid too, and you know they got talent. But you can't tell me there wasn't some kind of letdown on our end where you dominate a game for 45 minutes. The last, you know, 10, 15 minutes, all of a sudden the other team, like, you know, wakes up. I don't know.
I don't want to win games like this. You know, week 15 when you're at New York playing the Giants. I don't. But also know about the championship resume. And when you that game against Dallas was after coming off of two straight losses. To start the season, you lost that Raiders game at home. You know, I know there's a human element that says, here we go again. And you had to kind of fight that. Then you come back that next week and you destroy Buffalo because you overcame that. You overcame that Dallas situation. So now you come out against Buffalo with a lot of confidence. You beat them 35-10. So I think, you know, as the season goes on, to say now that week seven, they don't have this championship, whatever, it's week seven. It's we. If yeah. I'm peaked in late October, if I've peaked already, then that means I'm going to fizzle out down the stretch. I'm trying to build towards that December the 21st game against Pittsburgh at home. I'm building to that. Am I at a championship level right now? Probably not. Nor should I be. Shouldn't be there yet. Too early for it. I should be building mm-hmm. towards that. And it's great learning lessons through losses, great. But it's a lot better learning lessons with wins.
Yes. Right, that's what I'm saying. Like the ones that, you know, won't show up as losses, like you know, the Buccaneer game, which they totally dominated. They weren't in danger of losing. I never felt that. The Cowboy game, I was very nervous. Again, but that won't show up as a blown lead because they won.
Right.
So it's like right. But still I was like, don't do that.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You know, but at the same time, if John Harbaugh could get Ed Reed in the locker room or in the meeting and have a pep talk to the team, I'm signing him up. I listen to Ed Reed. I can disagree with him and still listen to him. Because he's the man. I just disagree with him on this.
He's the man.
Yeah, he's the, yeah, no doubt about
that.
He really
is. And he's fun to, I love when he's his own DJ. He's actually really good. So he's dancing, big hat on, cigar in his mouth.
Cigars are awesome.
Yeah.
There are a lot of players that put their names on cigars, mm-hmm. and they're awful.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful. I wonder how much he had to do with actually producing that cigar, because it's awesome.
I don't produce, but I tell you what, I bet he had a lot of input how it tastes, because he's a cigar guy. Yeah. I've never seen him without a cigar in his hand when he's not on the field.
It is. I buy him by the cases. Let's go. We were talking about Ravens' upcoming schedule earlier. Let's go to Corey in Baltimore. What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen?
Not much, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rob.
Sure.
Go Jack State.
Oh, we go. There you go. How's he doing?
There we go.
How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good, man. He's doing pretty good. But I watched two
this year. That's all I had a chance to watch.
It's all good. It's all good, man. It's all good. I appreciate you checking them out, man. But I also want to shout out the guys that's around Baltimore, too. Terry Jones, Jr., Indiana, he had a good game.
Okay.
Amir Hall from Mount St. Joe, he had a good game.
Yeah.
And my guy, Tamaris Walker from Madonna,
Now,
got some good bump from Maryland, man. I'm telling you, man, our Baltimore guys doing good, man. On Saturdays, man, I don't know what channel to look at, bro.
What's on your mind, Jordan?
I'm getting some good bump, man. I like that. But, yeah, man, I'm going to talk about your guys, man. Now, I can sit up there and see you saying that you got these concerns. But, you know, AFC North, man, is still the hard-hitting division.
It is.
That's your problem right there. Nobody else is everybody in your division right there. Yeah, y'all talk about the Browns. I don't care what you say. Y'all came off a good-ass win not too long ago, the other night. Now, it's a shame that you guys might slip up on
ain't
the
no
Browns.
Ain't no slipping up. Ain't no slipping up, Corey. Nah, Corey. Ain't no slipping up, Corey. Stop it.
Jack State, baby. Go Jack State.
Oh, his son had a hell of a game last year against South Carolina and almost beat South Carolina. So he called in one day. And he was talking about that game, how they almost beat. It was because they're the Gamecocks, too. Mm. And I said, did he play? Did he play? And I didn't know that was his son. I think he had, like, he had double-digit tackles. He was the leading tackle. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Barbershop topic of the day at 7:15. You don't want to go anywhere for that. But on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, I'm giving it to the most oblivious housewife in America. This story is one of you. Again, where do men find these women? But I'll tell you about it.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com. 1057 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels, Ed Norris.
Yes, sir. This goes to the most oblivious wife in the planet. Look, I don't know about you. You're married, have a girlfriend, whatever, your significant other of any sort. They tend to keep an eye on you. They may, you know, trust you. They may do this, but they keep an eye on you. They notice things. You know, is that new? What'd you get? What is that new? Would you get that?
Why are you breathing different?
Yeah. Why are you working out? You losing weight? How come? What are you doing? You know. Anyway, I don't mind notices everything. It's like sneaking the sun past the rooster. It's not going to happen, so not happening. This woman in Oregon, this guy, her husband, is a serial rapist, apparently. Ngozi Zubeda. He's a 30-year-old guy. They live out in this in Oregon. He ends up, he digs a 100-foot, like basically a dungeon, like next to the house. Like it's a makeshift cell. He digs a 100-foot hole. So you're talking about 10 stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't notice. He installs a steel door and waterproofs it. Nothing. He drives. His method was he would meet women under the guise of paying prostitutes. See, I don't want to get into prostitution. he'd take out a fake badge and pretend to be a police officer, arrest them for prostitution, and he'd throw them in the car and drive 450 miles to his dungeon and keep them there. She never noticed. Nothing. I don't know if I'm buying this story. So anyway, thankfully, one woman realized. She said she's either going to die or get out of this thing. She somehow gets out. This door only opened from the outside. But she was able to get out. She escapes, gets to his garage, finds a pistol in the front seat of his car, runs, flags down somebody, calls 911. They go back, and he's arrested for kidnapping and sexual assault of all kinds and things like that. And then he's got notes.
Wait a minute. Let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
450-mile distance.
Yeah.
So if you go 70 miles an hour, it takes about 6.5 hours to drive.
That's about right.
450 miles. So he's driving 6.5 hours one way. So 13 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? I don't want to say a company, but does he deliver for a living?
I don't know what the hell he did. But, I mean, that's the thing. Well, you're right, though. He drove. I mean, and that's what these guys do, as I've learned from my, you know, serial killer school and all that stuff. They drive and drive and drive, you know, just till they find somebody. And he's got Operation Takeover. Leave phone at home. Make sure they don't have a bunch of people that matter in their life.
Wait, he named it?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
He named it, and there's I have the notes on my computer. They have them. Dig a hole straight down 100 feet, concrete block, rubber coat, foam insulation, waterproof the concrete. He's got a whole plot here lined out.
Why
with
did
name.
He do that? What an what, idiot.
He raped them, and he took them back to rape them, or raped them and took them back?
Both. He would assault them on the ride and then keep them prisoner in the house in the 100-foot deep dungeon. And he had a whole thing. Operation Takeover was the name of the plot.
Did he have more than one down there, or just one?
I think it was just two eventually. It was two of all total. Yeah.
Now, this is like CSI, isn't it? Isn't
that the like Silence of the Lambs stuff? This is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he tuck it in?
I don't know. Puts the lotion on its skin.
Yeah. The person who knows that answer is out today, so.
I give my shovel to Dallas Cowboys owner, president, and general manager, Jerry Jones, for this right here.
Derrick Henry is having a career year. I don't know if he'd be having that career year in our situation. And that's really something you really do have to look at, because if he had not had as many carries as our running backs have had, then he certainly probably wouldn't have attained the level of impact he's having. And then he's a real good complement to the type of offense they run. We don't run that type of offense at all. Derrick Henry didn't fit because principally of managing the cap in anticipation of the players that we were going to sign weeks later, or anticipation of the players we're going to be signing in the future.
Now, he said he didn't know whether Derrick Henry would have a career year in Dallas. Let's say Derrick Henry has an average year in Dallas. An average year for Derrick Henry is averaging 1,400 yards per season. Is averaging 4.8 yards per carry. Is averaging 13 touchdowns a year. Hey, jackass. He didn't have to have a career year in Dallas.
No.
All he has to have is an average year. In fact, if Derrick Henry has a below average year, what is he going to give you, 1,100 yards? Only 8 touchdowns? Only 4.5 yards a carry? That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. We don't run that type of offense. He's a Hall of Famer. Adjust your offense.
Yes, like we did. Do exactly that.
What are you talking about? And Mike Preston said, well, Dallas, the offensive line is trash. Maybe. But I don't think our offensive line is as good as Lamar Jackson makes it look at times.
I totally agree.
I don't think it's as good as maybe even Derrick Henry makes it looks at times.
My question to Jerry would be, you're the worst rushing team in football. The worst. They're 32nd. They average 77 yards a game. How much could he have helped you if he had an okay year?
Is that not the most ridiculous
it's
excuse
so stupid,
ever? That's
yeah.
courtesy of the 105.3, the fan, I'm sorry, in Dallas, the station.
Oh, that's Rashawn Station.
Rashawn Station all the time. You got breaking news over there for us there, Joseph?
Yeah, I'm not happy about this.
What?
The Titans and
Rich
Chiefs are working to finalize a trade that would send DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City.
Ooh, just what
that
they
is
need.
Per Adam Schefter.
I just told Jerry, I think, Jeremy the other day, man, they got to get D-Hop out of Tennessee. Got to get him out of there. They did. Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
What's going on, fellas?
Not much.
Man, no, man. First day back to work, man. I was about to take FMLA, man, and just stay down in Tampa for another month.
Man,
like that.
You fall in love too quick, bro. You fall in love way too quick.
Man, it's just the weather, the city, man. You know, I got to come back here.
Oh, wait a minute. Tampa. I thought St. Pete was the place to be, according to you.
It was, man.
Tampa's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely different, man. You know, man. But you gotta hurry, move down there, Rob. Get that spot, man. I come stay with you, man. You know, because I can't stay with Ed. You know, Ed don't. You know, he ain't got no extra room for me. Man.
His extra room is that dungeon that he was just talking about.
I have an extra room for you.
But only difference is his has volunteers.
Yeah, drink the tea.
Yeah, man. But no, man. Y'all was talking about, I guess Ed Reed. You know, and I had a couple words about the Ravens, man. It's like these old players, man, seem like it's a little hate in them a little bit, man. together with Ed Reed now. Then you had it a couple years ago with Suggs, right? Remember when Suggs was saying Flacco was my quarterback? You know, he was supporting Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what up these old guys? You know,
I think, but the context of Ed Reed wasn't hate. It was more of fandom. He was getting anxious as the game was getting close. I think his was more like, it was anxiety. I don't think it was so much hate.
Yeah, I guess so, man. You know, but, you know, sometimes you come off wrong. People just misinterpret things a little differently.
But I agree with you on Terrell Suggs, though. I do agree with that one.
Yeah. And, man, like, Jerry need to stay off them radio shows, man. You know, every time you go on there, he just make yourself sound dumber and dumber. You know, dig yourself another hole. Like, I don't know what's going on, man. You know, but... Hey, he's giving y'all more content every morning, man. Hey, every week, man. Seems like, you know.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
He sure is.
Rashawn, have a good one, man. Rashawn, love.
I know.
Throw it up in the air, turn the sunshine. Barbershop topic of the day at 7:15, but on the other side, opening night in the NBA. Was it too much made over LeBron and Bronny? Not enough made buckets for the New York Knicks. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.